that plays the thing. Today on KRCB's A Novel Idea, we feature the folks behind New Voices on the Vine, a 10-minute play festival. It's a collaboration between Sixth Street Playhouse and the Redwood Writers, coming up later in May. We'll also feature music from Teresa Tuduri, who will kick off KRCB's Summer Concert in the Garden series at Chroma Gallery. And we'll talk more about that later. I'm Suzanne Lang, and it's A Novel Idea. For 5 years now, the Redwood Writers have put on a short play festival. This one, New Voices on the Vine, a 10-minute play festival. It's coming up later in the month. For two full weekends, the last two of May, you'll have the opportunity to indulge in this smorgasbord of theater. Recently, I sat down and spoke with author, artist, and director Linda Loveland Reed, the festival director Lenny Dean, and several of the playwrights involved, Milena El-Jamali, Maureen Studer, and Gil Manzurk. Yes, that Gil Manzurk, who has broadened his reach into a new form. He'll be around a little later in the broadcast. I began by asking Linda Reed to give us some background, and we went from there.
Well, it was really exciting 5 years ago when we started this. Redwood Writers is an organization that is one of the 19 branches of the California Writers Association. We're actually the largest branch with over 260 local members. And we had a contest for playwriting, for short plays. And we had these winning playwrights. And so as a director of theater, I was also at the time president of Redwood Writers. And I said, hey, why don't we produce these plays? So we did. And we went to Craig Miller at the Sixth Street Playhouse. And he has welcomed our collaboration. And then we were lucky enough to get Lenny Dean, who is an actor, director, and also teaches drama, to be our festival director. And she has done so every year. So that was really fun, and it's still fun today.
And it seems like this year you have had people submit plays, because this is a contest, from all over the place, that it's growing.
Well, we have opened the submissions to the state of California. So, yes, it is growing, and that's really a lot of fun as well. So this year we have six winning playwrights, and one that is going to be a reading. And so we're all set to go for the festival, which opens May 22nd and runs through June 7th.
And that, too, is different, isn't it? Seems like you're expanding.
Yes. In the past, we did it for one weekend, and now we're doing it for two weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So, yes, it's expanding. And this is because Sixth Street has been so willing and wants to encourage new playwrights and new pieces. And so it's really worked wonderfully for both of us.
I don't want to blather on too much without bringing Lenny into the conversation. So you're director of the festival and have been for these 5 years.
Yes, Sue. Good to be here with you. And thank you so much for supporting us. I want to say that right up. Yes. So actually, this is the third year. The first year that Linda did the festival, she did it from her home. And then, yes, came in and collaborated with Sixth Street Playhouse. And every year, as Linda said, the festival has grown. The play festival has grown. So we're adding this year, actually, a third collaboration. Nueva High School for the Performing Arts. We really want to bring in young people. We're always interested in expanding our audiences and having them grow. So we're bringing in high school students. They're studying, actually, the playwrights right now at their school. I sent the plays to them, and the teacher, Allison Fresnel. She is teaching a unit on playwriting and using these plays that have won in the play festival. The students are going to write a 1 to 2 minute response of some sort, a rap, a song, a poem to the plays that they're studying. And we're including that this year as well. Always we're interested at Sixth Street Playhouse in reflecting our community. So what better way than to look at this Nueva High School for the Performing Arts, bringing in young teens to work with our already beautiful family at Sixth Street. And then along with that, Garrett Groenveld, he is our dramaturg for the festival. He's going to be back doing a wonderful workshop. And it's just really fun to see the inspiration that's happened and how the playwrights have gone on to become involved with the Playwrights Forum that Maureen Studer is the director of at Sixth Street Playhouse, and to see their plays develop through the year, not just, you know, several of the playwrights that have submitted for sure and some that were selected are in Playwrights Forum. So it's a developmental aspect.
And we'll be talking with Maureen in just a minute. What are the challenges, though, to putting on multiple plays with different directors and actors and sets? And that's what I've noticed in past festivals, that it was kind of a production.
Yes, it is a full production. And it is very challenging because you have, you know, a different set for each production. And then Lenny's going to talk to the scheduling, which is really interesting, to do six plays.
Yeah, so it is so fun. It's the challenge and it's the fun part of it for me, because any great project has wonderful challenges that you have to rise up to meet, right? So it's the six directors having their own vision, making sure that that's covered. Now, what we've done every year is had an overall theme that's tied them all together in some form. So 1 year we did projections for each of the backgrounds. 1 year we used cards, like the old-fashioned stand-up cards that you could, you know, read what's going on in the cards, the names of the plays. We've used music as a connection. And last year we had a purse that was in every single script. So in the seven plays, the purse appeared. So it's kind of like Where's Waldo, only where's the purse? So just different things to tie them together. But it's true, the scheduling is what's really fun. The directors fight over the actors, and we have honed that down. The first year we had 25 actors or 26 actors, and we're like, that's not going to work again. It's too many people. It's really interesting to see one person play two or three different roles. So, you know, we've learned through our years of existing that now we have a company of, actually this year it's a little larger. We have 15 people in the company this year, because one play that we chose, it takes place in 1926 at Santa Rosa High School, and there are four teens. And that's the only play that there are teens. So we had to cast those people separately. The scheduling, it really is, it's like, okay, once I have provided spaces, then what I've done is said, okay, directors, you get a plan, whatever you want, fight over the actors, go. And they make it all work.
That is something I've enjoyed in past festivals, though, is seeing an actor in several different plays all in one night. It adds to the excitement for the viewer.
We also have an audience favorite. So we hand out to each person who attends a slip of the list of plays, and they choose the play that really resonated the best with them that night. And that's fun, too, for the audience. It's amazing what happens when you are an audience goer and you're actually judging, and it's their whole attention level goes way up, and they take it quite seriously and have a good time with it, too.
Yes, I have to say that my favorite did not win last year.
Oh, well, I'm sure your favorite's going to win this year.
Let's back it up a little bit. This is a contest. And so writers submit their play, and they're short plays. So I imagine there's a time limit or a page limit or something like that. And then you have people judge them. So what's that process like?
Okay, that's absolutely right. Our deadline every year is December 15th. And we, as I said, all those people out there who would like to submit a 10-minute play, start writing. It's a lot of fun. And submit your play, and then the judges will review the, and we try to get judges that are not just local, although we always have a local judge. Then we also go outside. We've had judges from New York and judges from San Francisco. And then they make their decision, and once they make their decision, we turn everything over to Lenny Dean and start the whole process.
This is an annual contest, and people can find out more if you're a writer out there and maybe want to get involved, or this conversation's getting your juices going. They can go out to the Redwood Writers website and find out more.
Yes, that would be redwoodwriters.org, and it will give the submission rules and all of that on the website. And we have many of our playwrights who have not just submitted to this and had their plays. Some of them are never done a play before and have been a winning playwright. Many of them also are submitting their plays to other places and are being accepted. We've had playwrights who have had their plays done in Australia and Mendocino and lots of places. So it's exciting, and it's a lot of fun for writers to get started in this genre.
And it does seem like short plays are catching on, or that there's lots of this going on.
Yeah, it's been an absolute boon. In the past, really, 10 years for sure, it's been increasing. With the Actors Theater of Louisville, they really started the whole gizmo. John Jory over there really got the whole thing started. But yes, this a genre of how much you can say in this short clip of a time. I know playwrights have gone on to write one-acts, which are longer, and full-length plays based on the training they get from 10-minute plays. There's just something so awesome and inspiring and challenging about putting it all down in that amount of time. It's really exciting to see the development of 10-minute plays, and I personally love them. I go to Playground in San Francisco, is renowned for that. Many people in that area are then also commissioned on a 10-minute play to do a full-length play. So, you know, that very well may be the direction we go. So, yeah, it's that little taste, that bite, that it just, that's provocative.
Well, I want to bring the playwrights in just a minute, but I also want us to mention some of the directors involved.
It's my very favorite thing to do. I love pulling groups of people together and doing stuff. It's party. And this party is so fun because we have the playwrights, we have the actors, we have the directors. And tomorrow, as a matter of fact, we're meeting at 6th Street for our first what we call meet and greet. Everybody gets together and we have a party. And it's we eat and drink, and then we read through all the plays. And everybody gets to meet each other for the first time. And then that's really the only time all of us together are in one room until opening night. So it's really fun to see the growth and changes from, you know, then to now, as we go forward. And that is what is awesome, watching people interact with each other, having the playwright, many playwrights, like Linda said, it's their first time. So we give really helpful guidelines to help the playwright through their experience with a director. And just like we have young directors, several of the directors we choose, that really is Craig and I work on the directors for the most part, because he's grooming them for directing full-length plays at 6th Street Playhouse. So we have Ian Dean. Yes, he's my son. So he'll be directing. Ryan Whitlock, it's his first year directing. He's right out of Montgomery High School. Great, huge, beautiful talent. Really interesting and really interested. He's working with the teens, the play that's the teens. It's called Felix the Cat and the Real Estate Guy. Then we also have Laura Davies is directing. Linda Reed here is directing.
Those
two people are back from previous years. I've had those two directors back. And then, who am I missing?
While we're thinking of that, I just wanted to say that Felix the Cat and the Real Estate Guy was written by KRCB's very own Gil Mansert.
Oh, right. Gil Mansert, who hosts KRCB's Word by Word. And I think this is his first play. So that'll be fun. That'll be lots of fun.
So are there two directors? Are Beulah Vega and Sylvia Jones? Beulah has been our stage manager for a few years. And so I offered her, would you like to direct? Because she's really put in the time helping us organize it behind the scenes. So she's directing this year as well. So a great team of playwrights and actors and directors.
I just can't imagine what it must be like for the playwrights to, especially if it's their first play, to then see their work manifested that way. It must be just otherworldly. So I want to bring in the playwrights, Milena Aljamaili and Maureen Studer. And Maureen, tell me what you do at Sixth Street Playhouse. You run a playwriting group, or what is it that you do?
I do. It's called Playwrights Forum, and we meet on the first and third Saturday of every month. And the group is designed to work with what the author needs. You know, in this industry, there's a lot of needs that get met for actors and directors and producers and designers, and a lot of work goes on. And this is the time when a playwright can focus on their message, the value of their script, what they're trying to say, how they want to say it. And so it's a time where playwrights can come in and ask questions about what's working, what isn't working, what do you understand about their play, so that they can really hone in on what they want to say before it gets in the hands of everybody else, because it changes. Things change. It's a very mercurial craft. So it's not like you can just write something down and everybody gets it. And that's what we do there, is we really focus on what the author needs to communicate the story they have to tell.
And you have a play in the festival as well.
I do. I'm very fortunate. This is my second time being produced with this festival. The first play was several years ago, the first year. And then this play, this year, is called Accosted. And I'm very, very fortunate to go through this process twice.
So now you are in the position of having to work with the director and to have your play manifested in corporeal terms.
Yes, I have. And I've been to one rehearsal, and the director is spot on about the script and what's going on and what's being said. So I'm very, very excited to see what she comes up with. And this particular play, I've been working on this for a long, long time. Even though it's 10 minutes, they take a lot of work. People underestimate the amount of work it takes to put together a 10-minute play. And so we've met and we've gone through it, and I'm very, very excited to see it come to fruition.
Yeah, I would imagine just the concision involved in creating a character that the audience can relate to and a plot or scenario that has, you know, dynamic momentum to it, all in just 10 minutes must be challenging.
Yeah. You have to realize it has a beginning, middle, end. Whether or not it's 10 minutes, 25 minutes, or 2 hours, you still have a beginning, middle, end. And how you put that together is much like a haiku. You know, you have to really be concise and very specific about what you're trying to do. So you weed out everything that you don't need, which gets you to just a very clean, pure piece of work.
It must be exciting and a little nerve-wracking to see and hear the actors saying those words.
Well, it is and it isn't. I'm fortunate in that in my time working in the theater, which has been a long time, I've worked with a lot of playwrights on the other side. I've directed plays for new playwrights, and I have performed in plays. So a lot of the rules that Lenny and Linda established along the way were rules I'm familiar with. So I know what my job is as a playwright right now, and I have to live up to that. You know, so that's the challenge, is knowing what it is and following through with giving everybody else, because it really does work if you let the director take over and you let the actors take over, and everybody gets to bring something to the table now. And that's what makes it so exciting, because everyone's got such talent and ideas, and you never want to squelch that excitement. You want that to flourish, because it just means your work is going to flourish. So knowing to do that is the challenge for me.
And Milena, if I understand it correctly, your play in a previous year won the crowd favorite, yeah?
Yes, that was 3 years ago, and the play was called Special Delivery. Yes, it was the first play I'd ever written. Yeah, I was amazed, because people were coming up to me and telling me how much they liked it, and I thought, oh, well, that's nice. And more people kept coming up to me and telling me how much they liked it, and I just was, it was just amazing to see it performed, and people were laughing in the right places, and they seemed to really connect with the characters, and that was a fabulous experience.
And so your play this year is called The Call.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you been a writer, or did you just decide, I think I'm going to try this? There's a contest.
When I decided to do this 10-minute play contest, I'd never written a play. I've written prose mostly, short stories and some trying to finish novels and that kind of thing. And then I thought, well, what the heck? I'll just give it a try. And it was challenging, I have to say. And actually, at the time, I'd never even heard of a 10-minute play. I didn't even know what it was. So I had to go, you know, kind of do a little research and see how it works. And yeah, I think it was just kind of dumb luck, that first one, that that I did something right.
Well, that you've had another play selected in a competitive situation, seems like you are doing something right.
Yeah, yeah, it's exciting. But, you know, in the meantime, I have, you know, lots of plays rejected, too. You know, there's a lot of places you can send out 10-minute plays, lots of calls for submissions. And, you know, I've sent them out, and, you know, it's been really good for me to learn to be rejected, and that I'm not, you know, a useless human being or anything. It's just, you know, they don't need that play right now. And, you know, somebody else may like that play. So so that's part of, you know, being a writer, is learning to, you know, put up with that kind of stuff, you know, being rejected maybe. But then, you know, then maybe they might like it too.
You guys sound like you're moving into the intense production period.
Yeah, I recently met the actors who are going to play the parts. I have four parts in my play, and that was actually a challenge for me. I decided I'm going to try to write more people, because most of the things I write are just two people talking. And I said, I'm going to put more people into this one. And so there's four actors, and of course, Linda's doing the directing, and just meeting them. And now I have to have a whole new idea of what these people look like and who they are, because now they're going to be played by these people. But I think it's wonderful, the collaboration. You know, I can write the words, but then these people have to bring it to life. So it's really exciting. I mean, but it's interesting for me to have to think about these characters differently now, because they look different than I had imagined. But, you know, they're going to say those same lines, but we'll see what happens.
It's a real alchemy, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It is. And that's exciting.
Really, Milena is a perfect example of exactly what we're talking about, because when she had Special Delivery done, she'd never been to a rehearsal. So for her to sit in on a rehearsal for the first time, and I remember I was there for some reason, I showed up, and the look on her face of amazement and awe and, oh my gosh, they're saying the words out loud. It was just beautiful to see that. And then, so the expectation this year has grown, and the understanding, I'm sure, from Milena has grown. So that's a perfect example of one of the reasons we do the Play Festival as a collaboration, and in the way we do it, so that we have these new experiences. And then, like Maureen Studer said, she gets to the place where she understands that now is when it can take off, because the actors and the playwright or the director bring in their own qualities. So it is a true collaboration. So, and again, we make guidelines and support for the playwrights and the directors. It is so important that the actors have one master of the ship, and that needs to be the director. Now, we want the playwright to say everything they want to say, but they need to go through the director. So they're the team, the director and the playwright, with the director at the helm. And then, knowing actors, they want anything they can get from anywhere. So I've seen them corner playwrights in the bathroom. What do you think about this character? So they'll try and question
wherever they can, however they can get it, beyond, above, below the director, they want that playwright's information. So it's really interesting, again, to harness that and have that be focused so that there's not divide and conquer. So
I thought it was really interesting the other night when Milena, as a playwright, was there. We read with the cast for the first time. We're all meeting each other, and we're reading the play for the first time, and we're talking about what the characters and what they think. And I'm asking the characters questions like, where were you born? And how did the husband and wife, how did you meet each other? And so they're, of course, actors, and they're getting right into the role-playing of it all. And Milena is sitting there and realizing that new things, new ideas are coming up through her words. And I think that that was pretty interesting for her. And I must say, she has been very supportive in letting us do what we have to do, which is explore all the opportunities the play can give us until we finally set on exactly what we're going to do.
Milena, what are, now you've been part of the Writers Forum, the Playwriters Forum, and this is your second play in the festival. What are some of the things you've learned or some of the challenges you've faced?
Well, one thing I'd like to say is that with the Writers Forum, you come there with your own play and you're going to get some feedback from that. But I think I got as much information and help with my play listening to other people's plays and hearing, you know, the comments that they were getting and thinking my own comments about that. That it's amazing when you see somebody else doing something, you're like, oh, I think I've done that. You know, I know I do that myself. So, mm-hmm. you know, it helps you to be a better writer to listen to what other people, the sort of comments the other people are getting. It's and just hearing other people's ideas. It's amazing that people have all kinds of amazing ideas. And just hearing all that it's just a really wonderful experience.
And where do you get your amazing ideas?
everywhere I go, I see 10-minute plays happening. I actually have one. When I was in church one time, this person, they needed to get to their seat, and they walked across this whole aisle full of people to get to their seat when they could have gone around and just sat right down. And I thought, who is that person that's walking all the way across like that and making everybody else, you know, have to move for them? And so that was a spark for a play that I'm writing right now. So everywhere you can look, you see, I mean, clearly you see characters everywhere. But when you're working on a 10-minute play, you have to realize that you're going to be in a festival. They don't just put your one 10-minute play out there. It's a festival. There's going to be five or six plays. And, you know, you have to keep things simple. You have to think in terms of they're going to have to get your set off and on really quickly. And same thing with, usually, I think most play festivals would limit the number of characters. I'm not sure about that, but a lot of times they'll limit the number of characters because you can't have, you know, 20 people on the stage and get everybody's, you know, it wouldn't work anyway. So, but yeah, there definitely are some limitations. But, you know, it's fun to work within that. You do have to have a story arc, a character arc, all in 10 minutes. It's a lot of fun to work with.
Yeah, I would add to what Milena is saying, and that you have to be really practical. Having planes land or waterfalls or ships in the play are not really going to work very well because it's an impossible task. So you have to recognize what's going to be feasible, what's practical about your work, and what will be logical in the play. Now, that's where the creativity comes in, because if you really need a ship, then you have to figure out a way how to do it in 10 minutes and that the theater company is going to do it at no expense, because it all costs money. Everything costs money. While there's hundreds of hours donated by everybody, there's still a lot that has to be considered for producing a play festival. So knowing that you're not going to be able to cook a dinner in 10 minutes and you're not going to be, but that you can have a meal, you know, I mean, there's different ways to work with it, but that's part of the challenge of knowing how you're going to do it. To set a play in a hot air balloon would be very difficult, but you have to be creative enough to do it in a way that is not going to cost a lot of money and is realistic.
Well, I look forward to seeing the array of plays coming up at the New Voices on the Vine. We're talking about the Redwood Writers Play Festival coming up at the 6th Street Playhouse the last two weekends in May. New Voices on the Vine, a 10-minute play festival. Let's take a break and we'll hear from Gil Manzerg, host of KRCB's Word by Word, when we come back. KRCB is kicking off a summer music series, partnering with Chroma Gallery in Santa Rosa. The first summer concert in the garden at Chroma is Saturday, May 16th, from 4 to 6, and features the dynamic and ever out there Teresa Tuduri. Let's listen to her right now. Stay with us. I'm Suzanne Lang, and this is A Novel Idea.
I was a naive girl looking for an ideal man. Have us some ideal babies in a Christian land with a flagpole off the front porch and a barbecue in the back and an American-made vehicle with a bicycle rack. I was a dream come true for the devil, you see. He was looking for a naive, idealistic girl like me. And he found me in a moment of weakness at the laundromat on B Street. I was thumbing through a magazine and tapping my feet. He swindled on up next to me and he leaned into my ear and he wrapped his tail around me and he said, "Listen, dear, I have a song I long to sing to you." And he sang, "I will always love you. I will always love you." Now it's too late to find my way back home again. It's too late, I'm wandering the land. It's too late for the family I wanted so bad. And it's all because I met a man. 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 Now I live down by the depot where the buses stop and start. Exhaust pours from the engines, exhaust pours from my heart. Though I've fallen several stories, my soul's still pure as snow. Yet I ain't nobody anybody else wants to know. Sometimes I go down to Mitzi's and I turn a trick for free. I said, "Tonight's your lucky night, boy. This one's on me." And all you gotta do is lean into my ear and sing, "I will always love you. I will always love you." Now it's too late to find my way back home again. It's too late, I'm wandering the land. It's too late for that family I wanted so bad. And it's all because I met a man. All because I met a man. All because I've been a man. All because I've been a man. It's too late to find my way back home again. It's too late, I'm wandering the land. It's too late for that family I wanted so bad. And it's all because I've been a man. All because I've been a man. All because I was a dream come true for the devil, you see. He was looking for an idealistic girl like me.
Mm-hmm.
Teresa Tuduri with All Because I Met a Man from her album River of Life. Gil Manzerk, author and radio host, submitted a play to the festival, and it too is part of New Voices on the Vine, the Redwood Writers 10-Minute Play Festival. I thought it would be fun to get his take. Our listeners hopefully know you as the host of KRCB's Word by Word Conversations with Writers.
Certainly.
And some of our listeners may recall that you have a novel out, at least one I know of, The Marvelous Journals of Miss Virginia Pettingill.
That's correct.
Now a play and at the upcoming festival. And so I want to talk about that, Gil. Is this your first play?
This is my absolutely, well, I did one in seventh grade. Does that count?
I guess it counts.
I think I have it in some file drawer somewhere. But other than that, this is my first play. And basically, I got a blurb from the Redwood Writers saying, hey, you've only got a week left. Turn it in, even if you've never written a play. And since it was so restrictive, it had to be no more than 10 pages, a certain number of words. I had to include a song with the word wine in it. And other than that, it was pretty open. So what I did is took a novel that I was working on and reset it. The one I wrote, which is called Hollywood Bow, was set in Glendale High School in 1924. And it happened to be the same year that Santa Rosa High School opened up. So I guess what? I moved them north. Same character names, same basically interactions. A few other things are different because of where it is and because it's Santa Rosa.
What's the name of your play?
The name of my play is Felix the Cat and the Real Estate Guy. And that's one of the changes. Because in the book, or at least originally, I had the two. Basically what happens, it's a Halloween dance. So the four characters are dressed up. One is Zorro, one is Felix the Cat, who everybody still knows, and then the other one was I had originally as Barney Google, who people don't remember now, but that was a character from the funny pages, and so I changed it to Charlie Chaplin because that obviously the little tramp, and then the real estate guy, and that's Bo, who decided that his simplest costume was just to print up some business cards that he could hand out and dress in a suit and tie. So that's what he did. And that's his costume. They have the girls and the guys had not met before. They're different. It's the first year, so everybody's new to the campus. But they're when the boys are sophomores and the girls are freshmen. So this is really the first time they've met. They don't have classes together. And it's an interaction on a moonlit night, literally on the Friday the 31st of October, because that's coincidental when I looked it up. And it goes from there. It's how you meet somebody you've never met before and, hope to meet again.
And wearing costumes.
Wearing costumes, yes.
So you took a novel that you had kind of in the can or
right.
in your file or whatever.
Took a chapter from that.
Oh, a chapter from it, because right. this is a short play festival.
10 minutes.
And it seems to me that would be the work you would have to do to tighten that up so that the story, that people going to the play could follow an arc and the characters. And if this was your first play, how did you approach that?
Started with dialogue. Basically, I took the chapter that I'd written, pulled all the dialogue pieces out, put them in a in sequence, decided what stage directions I needed, and I ended up with 12 pages, so it wasn't hard to cut from there. I had readers. I've cut it down significantly since the first draft because there was extraneous materials that I'd thrown in. It's tighter now. And then also after it won the contest, we had a chance to meet with the Sixth Street people, and they went over the play with us and said, well, if you do this, if you change that, if you make this tweak, it'll be better. And it was. So we made probably 10 or 12 minor changes, sometimes in punctuation, interestingly enough, to make part of a sentence be more, specific, more getting more attention. So that's been interesting to watch. It was fascinating. I went to a couple of the castings and then a read-through with young people. My play is interesting because it's the only one of the six that are being presented that has high schoolers, you know, high school-age actors on stage portraying real high schoolers. And that's kind of a challenge. And what I found was the most interesting thing, the first group of young women who came in and read knew nothing about 1924 in Santa Rosa at the time, which as a person who does research before they think every morning seemed odd to me. The people who read last, and I believe the woman who's going to be cast in the play now, actually went online. She not only looked up the time and place, but found out what song that was used in the play and heard it so she knew how to sing it. So I gave her many kudos for that, and I think she's going to be great.
I was wondering what that experience is like to have what you've created become manifested by others, and that really is the height of a collaborative process, isn't
it? Yeah, of course, I write movie columns, so I've been involved in making movies, and that's probably the most collaborative of all the art forms. And it's interesting to see other people. I mean, one of the things is when you're sitting there and they're doing the casting, it's hard not for me to say, well, in 1924, such and such was going on, and the Banker Doyle was the one who founded, Exchange Bank, and that's the scholarship at the junior college, et cetera, et cetera. But you sit on your hands and let the director make their comments to the director, and then they make it to the actors. So that's a challenge because I want to, jump in with both feet. And there's a lot of backstory, of course, that I know, which sometimes has proven helpful and other times I think is too much information.
So you are maybe one of the type of playwrights that are a director's worst nightmare.
I've gotten better, I hope. Yeah, you can ask the director when you see him. Who's a young man? I think this is his first play, too, so it's a learning experience for both of us.
Well, it must have been surprising to you to have a late submittal, or not late, but down,
it was on time.
Down to the wire submittal.
You know, when you write for a weekly column, you learn to be on time, or you don't get paid. It's really simple, right?
Were you surprised that your play got selected?
Candidly, I tailored it for the audience. I knew that, I set it at the, a specific time and place. I thought it would be picked up because it was local. As it turned out, it's a historic drama. There's one others of the six that's also in a specific time and place. That's set in the 1960s. One of the things that when we remember, I obviously don't remember 1924, but I remember the 1960s. And as I was listening to the play, the younger people in the audience, I'm talking, 40s and under, did not know it was coming. And I did because I lived through it. And you don't know who your audience is going to be. And, of course, when you submit a play, there were three judges who looked at it. So you don't know how they would see it and look at it and compare and contrast. So I'm delighted that it's in. It's going to be fun.
Yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank
because
you.
People from all over the state submitting work. And I think the festival has grown into a real nice event in town, and with 6th Street and Redwood Writers producing something of this caliber is really a gift to us all.
Let me put a shout out to the other plays that people are going to see. It's an amazingly diverse group of experiences. So I think people are going to be surprised and delighted. There's nothing like each other. They're all independent, and that's really great. When people are getting tickets, they should look online and see their special events occurring on different times. I know on the 31st, for instance, which is the last show, which is a matinee of May, that we playwrights will be there afterwards to answer questions. I know the 21st, which is the opening night, which is a special fundraiser for Redwood Writers, is going to have all kinds of, food and drink and schmoozing and rubbing elbows with playwrights and actors and actresses. It should be quite fun. And then other days as well, there's some special staged readings that are going on where there are feedbacks, it's called, from one of the high school drama groups, you know, classes that's seen the plays and has made their own reactions to them, and be sharing that with the audience as well. So look at the variety of activities and pick the one that you think would be most fun and entertaining and enjoyable, because they're all of those.
Well, thank you, Gil Mansork. And our listeners can hear you every second Tuesday of the month on KRCB's Word by Word. That's at 4 o'clock. And our listeners can rub elbows with you at the Playwright Festival. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
That was Gil Mansork of KRCB's Word by Word, Conversations with Writers. Lenny Dean and Maureen Studer performed a bit of Maureen's play Accosted. Let's listen to that and the rest of my conversation with Lenny, Linda, and the playwrights.
At Rise, a young woman is walking down the street wearing a very nice professional suit. She carries a purse labeled Fear. A thief jumps out in front of her. The thief has a gun.
Easy. Just take it easy. Very easy. And nobody'll get hurt.
Oh, my God. What do you want?
Don't get excited. Don't scream. Stay calm now. Don't get worked up here. Got it?
Take my purse, my credit cards, cash. Nobody would know it if you took the cash. Please take everything.
I want you to drop the fear.
Pardon?
Drop the fear, and nobody'll get hurt.
Please, just take my purse.
No, I don't want your purse. I said I want your fear.
You do?
Yes.
You want my fear?
Yes.
You don't have any fear of your own?
No. Yes. I mean, I want you to drop your fear. I'm not going to take it home or anything.
What are you going to do with it then?
Nothing.
Then why do you want it?
Well, I don't want it, as in want it for myself. I mean, I just want you to drop it.
Why?
Well, so you don't have to live with it.
Well, I don't think I can do that.
You're saying no?
Yes.
But I have a gun.
I can see that. If I didn't have any fear, I probably wouldn't have noticed.
That was Lenny Dean and Maureen Studer reading from Maureen's play, Accosted. In the past festivals that... And this, to me, is indicative of kind of the territory that is explored. They have some substance to
them.
They
do. They have substance. And I just want to talk about that. It's really fun because the style is often, the style of the kind of plays we do is a wide variety. This isn't what you'd call realism, what we just read. Accosted is not a realistic play. And we have a couple of other plays that have that non-realism, and yet we also have slice of life that's very much realism. So that's the other thing about the smorgasbord we're talking about. It's not just different ideas, but it's different styles. And in every season, we find we have at least one or two of these. There's comedy, there's drama. So it's the different genre, style. Very exciting.
Well, very good. So this is the Redwood Writers... What are you calling the festival?
New Voices on the Vine, 10-Minute Play Festival.
I just wanted to say that we are having one special night. It's May 21. It's the night before the general kickoff. And on May 21, we're having a performance, and all of the ticket sales go towards Redwood Writers. So this is a Redwood Writer fundraiser night. And the tickets are $20. And it includes the performance and some great food and some good wine. And so if you'd like to come out and support Redwood Writers, why, we would love to have you involved in our fundraiser. And then, of course, the rest of the performances take place May 22nd through June 7th.
That's one thing I want to say Sixth Street Playhouse does, is we sell the preview performance. So it's the first night with an audience, preview performance to nonprofits in our community for half the price or very little. so that they can make money. And then we also have an audience. It's our way of contributing back to our community as well. So yes, please, Redwood Writers is a great thing to fund, and buy your tickets for that. And you can go to Redwood Writers website to find the information out about it, buying the tickets.
Yes,
there.
The tickets for May 21 are purchased directly through Redwood Writers website, and all the rest of the tickets, of course, would be through 6th Street website. So if you can't come along on May 21, you definitely want to see the plays, and so figure on getting your ticket through 6th Street for the other dates.
And do they get to vote? Does the audience votes count as well for the
absolutely
favorite play?
Absolutely.
Okay. Did you have something else, Lenny?
No, we just are so excited for everyone to come out again this year. We've had absolutely wonderful audience attendance, and now we have people who are following and that come back and back, and we just are looking forward to it growing. I want to say the first year that we had it at 6th Street, we did it in June. And
right.
It was boiling hot because our sweet little theater down there doesn't have any air conditioning, so we moved it. So we wouldn't be dying in the heat. And so we have now in May. And it does fall over the Memorial Day weekend. But what a great way to be involved with our community is to come to the Memorial Day weekend performance of the 10-Minute Play Fest.
And there are lots of great restaurants in the Railroad Square area. And it's a nice evening out. I want to thank you ladies so much for coming in today. And I want to mention some of the other playwrights as well. In the studio, we have Maureen Studer and Milena El-Jamali, but also Lynn Millar has a piece, and she's been in previous festivals as well. Scott Lummer, Seth Freeman, KRCB's Gil Mansurg, and Wilma Chandler.
I have a little side note that both Lynn and Milena, or all three, Lynn, Milena, and Scott, all come to Playwrights Forum. And both Scott and Lynn told me at one point that they had submitted more than one play, and they were sure that of the plays they had submitted, which one would be selected, and each time it was a different play for each person. So they were really surprised that they said, well, I was sure X was going to get chosen, and no, it was B that was chosen. And they were all plays, though, that went through Playwrights Forum, and we all discussed them and talked about them, and they made revisions based on comments they'd heard.
So let's give, for our listeners who might be thinking, the Playwrights Forum, maybe I could get involved with that. How can people get involved if they feel that's something that they want to do?
Sure. We welcome new participants all the time, whether you're an experienced writer or a new writer. We are at 6th Street Theater. We meet in the Studio Theater, and there's a big sign over the door that says Studio Theater. We meet from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. on the first and third Saturday of every month. You bring enough copies of your script for each character you have written to be read. You select readers out of the group of people who appear. It's drop-in, so you're not required to come week after week, just when you have something you want to hear. Or people drop in sometimes just because they want to be in a room full of writers talking about writing. It's inspiring, then they get new ideas. It's $10 per session, which is probably the lowest price writing workshop anywhere that I've ever heard of. But we want to encourage people to bring in works and drop in when they have pieces available. So that's how you would do it.
And Linda, this might be a good time to mention the Redwood Writers, which is another resource for local writers to have a little camaraderie, a little bit of support.
Yes, Redwood Writers, we meet monthly, and the public is invited. We meet at the Flamingo Hotel. The meeting starts at 3 o'clock, but you want to come at 2:30 because we get about 70 writers, and these people are writing everything. They are poets. They are nonfiction. They're fiction. They're memoir. They're doing mystery. It's a really huge mix, and people are brand new writers, and then many of our writers are very published and some well-known. So it's a great mix, and I invite anyone who thinks that they would like to write or are writing now, and just you will learn about the industry. You will learn about publishing and about how to build your character. We have workshops and seminars and all kinds of things going on. So it's a great organization.
Thanks so much, Linda Loveland Reed, Lenny Dean, the festival director, and Milena El-Jemaili, her plays The Call, and Maureen Studer. Her play, which we've heard a reading from, is Accosted. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much for your support again.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
We've been taking a look at the upcoming 10-minute play festival, New Voices on the Vine. Performances are the last 2 weeks in May, Thursday through Sunday, 8 p.m. shows with 2 o'clock Sunday matinees. Thursday, May 21st, is a benefit for the Redwood Writers, and tickets can be purchased through their website. KRCB's Summer Concerts in the Garden at Chroma Gallery in Santa Rosa kick off May 16th with Teresa Tuduri from 4 to 6, and we'll go out with something else from her. Rosemary Manchester will be here next month with Lisa C. Join us then. We've had production assistance from Sean Knight and Mary Moore Campagna. This is a production of Lit Radio and KRCB Public Media. I'm Suzanne Lang. Thanks for listening. It's a novel idea.
I know why I waited, why I've been so blue, prayed each night. Someone exactly like you. Why should we spend money on a show or two when no one does those love scenes exactly like you? You make me feel so great to want to hand the world to you. You seem to understand the foolish little schemes I'm scheming, dreams I'm dreaming. Now I know why Mama told me to be true. She meant me for someone exactly like you. Ba 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 do, ba do ba do ba ba ba. You make me feel so grand. I wanna hand the world to you. You seem to understand the foolish little schemes I'm scheming, dreams I'm dreaming. Now I know why Mama told me to be true. She met me for someone exactly like you. Now I know why Mama taught me to be true. She met me for someone exactly like you.